We have all kind of headlines, don't we, in the newspaper, internet, Fox News, whatever it might be. So what are some of those headlines? Well, today we'll look at the headlines here and we see war in the Middle East between the Jews and the terrorists. You know, it wouldn't be surprising if some morning we'll see something about armies surrounding Jerusalem. It could happen very quickly, couldn't it? There's other wars and rumors of wars. There's murder, adultery, bearing false witness in court, nursing home abuse of patients, parents' abuse of their children, stealing, theft, abortion, riots, demonstrations with looting and murder. Immigrants, we hear a lot about that, don't we, on the news? Immigrants crossing the border. And there's all kind of people, if you hear Donald Trump, you'll hear him say quite a bit about the immigrants and what all is there, you know, murders and all kinds of stuff, you know, with people coming in from other countries and so on. We have sanctuary cities overloaded with crime and violence, drugs, fentanyl killing thousands of people, suicide rates skyrocketing, safe zones in colleges, election fraud. So the list goes on and on, on and on and on and on. All these headlines involves sin. Breaking of God's commandments, His statutes, and His laws. So what is the solution? Repentance. Seems pretty simple to us, doesn't it? We are a repentant people. Will mankind repent? Will our nation, America, repent? Well, I hope, but it seems like the answer would be no, doesn't it? You know, when we look back in history and we see Noah in the flood, he preached for 100 years. And how many people got on board the ark? 8. That was his family. And chances are he might have been the only one who was actually repentant. God needed the rest of them to repopulate the earth. We read in the book of Revelation, and I know every trumpet when I give a message, so it's amazing how many times you'll see where they did not repent. Now in Revelation 7, they did. There was the innumerable multitude and so on, but obviously they had to give up their lives, didn't they, to be able to make it and so on. After the Great Tribulation and the return of Jesus Christ, the 10% left of the people on earth will be very troubled. The beginning of the kingdom of God on earth will not be a paradise the second after Jesus Christ returns to the earth and sets up his kingdom in heaven. That was mentioned a couple days ago in one of the sermons. There will be many problems that Jesus Christ and the saints will have to face and solve in helping humanity, including housing, food, clothing, health conditions, mental problems, and many other problems. The world will not be converted instantaneously at the return of Jesus Christ. So on your cards, you would have a headline thinking about 5 years after the millennium, what would it be like? So obviously one would be no war since the return of Jesus Christ. Wild animals tamed. So you may come up with many other ideas, and I'll be trying to give you ideas as we go through my message. My message is in two parts. The first one, the main message, is titled, Thy Kingdom Come. Thy Kingdom Come. And then the second part will be headlines, and that'll be after I finish my message here. So Luke 11, 1-4. Luke 11, 1-4. Now it came to pass that Jesus Christ was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. So we're familiar with the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. It's something that we have memorized. The idea would be that we say each part and then we try to elaborate on that and kind of that kind of thing. The real Jesus prayer, of course, is in John 17, and that's, we go over that in Passover, don't we, as we read through the scriptures at Passover time. One thing about it, when we do pray, we don't ask that God does anything about going to heaven, does he? You know, we're not going to heaven. It's not there, but it says thy kingdom, meaning God's kingdom, Jesus' kingdom is what's going to come. So what is this kingdom we're praying about here? The book of Mark begins with a statement about the gospel, Mark 1:1. In the beginning of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the beginning of the gospel, let me rephrase that now, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then we drop down to verses 14 and 15 and it continues. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. repent and believe in the gospel. So there's two parts of Jesus' gospel message. Repent and believe in the gospel. And that gospel is about the kingdom of God. Another verse that is very familiar to all of us, another memory verse, is Matthew 24:14, and that says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, have we done that already? You know, the World of Mara program has been around for years and years and years, but that was a few years ago, wasn't it? So, you know, perhaps they need a new message. You know, not a new message, but a new speaking of it and about it, and maybe that was where all of us come in handy. You know, we should not be ashamed of coming to the feast. You know, a lot of times people say, well, where are you going this year? You know, well, I'm going on vacation. No, you're not. You're going to the feast, right? Tell them. It's a witness message, isn't it? Well, I'm going to the Feast of Tabernacles. That's a period of time for 8 days where I go and rejoice before God at a religious convention where we all assemble all over the world. All over the world. We attend this picturing the world tomorrow, picturing the millennium, the 1,000 years. Now, Jesus Christ will return. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with a trumpet of God. Similar to that shofar that has been blown here a couple of times. Only be a lot louder. And the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And I love this phrase right here. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We're his bride. We're his church. We're his cabinet, you might say, like the president has a cabinet. We're his wife. What does your wife, those of you men, what does your wife do? Doesn't she support you? Doesn't she admonish you from time to time? Doesn't she give you advice, counsel? Well, we're there. We're going to be there as Jesus' bride. And okay, I'm sure he knows everything, of course, but who knows? He might look at you and say, what do you think? Oh, okay. You know, we'll have an opinion, won't we? And that's part of what we're there for. Revelation 11:15 says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's when Jesus Christ is coronated. You know, we call him King of Kings, but actually he's not yet, but he has been qualified for the office. But here's where he is actually coronated, and he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The saints will rule with Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:8-10. Revelation 5:8-10. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So we're not going to reign in heaven, are we? We're going to be here on the earth. You know, the meek shall inherit the earth. Revelation 9:5-16. Revelation 9:5-16. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, the saints, the church, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell down at his feet to worship him. And he said, see that you don't do that. I'm not your fellow servant. I am your fellow servant. And of your brethren, you shall have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's interesting here, talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. As I recall in Worldwide, I don't ever remember that mentioned. It might have been, but maybe I wasn't paying attention or something. But there's this supper that we're going to be able to attend. And it's going to be amazing, isn't it? Each of us will be part of that ceremony, part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now also, hear this last phrase here that I just read. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. He's also the Savior of the New. And he is the one who inspired to have the book of Revelation written. He did. These are his words. These are his prophecies. And if we look back in like Isaiah 20:53, we'll read about his birth. So that was prophesied. And Psalm 22, that's about the Passover, isn't it? Again, prophecy. But again, the whole book of Revelation was inspired by Jesus Christ. Now, continuing in verse 15 of Revelation 19. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, a king is, Jesus is King of Kings, so kings would refer to us being under him, and we will have a civil administration part to handle there. He's also Lord of Lords, so us being a Lord is a priest. So then we will be dealing with the spiritual qualities of people and mankind and what's going on. Okay, continuing on. What is a saint? What is a saint? Catholic Church says that the Pope has to ordain someone, doesn't it? Well, what's the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Well, sanctified means set apart. It means holy. It means blameless. We are the saints, you and me. The saints will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verses 4 and 6. Revelation 20, 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. And judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned for Christ with 1,000 years. So it says we saints are going to rule with him throughout the millennium for 1,000 years. Naturally, we'll be with him forever, won't we? But anyway, this specifically says through the millennium. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such a second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It's quoted twice in that passage there. So the Feast of Tabernacles pictures this period of time. That's what we're in right now. So as we walk around in this room, around the community, and so on, we need to think about that we are actually maybe walking in, metaphorically anyway, that we are walking in God's kingdom. We need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful of our behavior. We need to be nice people, don't we? Mr. Rogers, who was a minister years ago in our church, he made a comment, I always remembered it. Be the best you that you can be. Be the best you that you can be. And we all, that's just good advice, isn't it? Simple, good advice. Okay, so what will the millennium be like, this 1,000-year period? First of all, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ and the saints. Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3 says, Revelation 20, 1 to 3, then I saw an angel come down from heaven having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of that dragon, that serpent, that of old, who is the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That's good advice. That's good to know, isn't it? To think that Satan's going to be put away. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he would not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. So, you know, thank God in a way. You know, thank God he's out of the picture. You know, we'll be living our lives without him. You know, we are tied down with like three things, worldliness, Satan, and I'm drawing a blank on the third one. But anyway, he'll be out of the picture. Let's put it that way. The kingdom of God will be established on the earth for 1,000 years. This will be a divine government. All government offices, responsibilities will be taken over by the saints who have been resurrected, converted to spirit beings, and we have eternal life. So just like John 3:16 says, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Some will rule over 10 cities, some over 5. Luke 19, 17 through 19. Luke 19, 17 through 19. And he said to him, well done, good servant. because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said, you also over 5 cities. You know, we have a reward involved in this kind of thing with 5 cities, 10 cities, or whatever it might be. When you read Ephesians 2:8, grace, about grace, most people do not read the other two verses that goes with it, verses 9 and 10. And when you read those, you find out that there are some works involved, and through those works is part of our reward. So something to think about when you ponder it. When you read Ephesians 2:8, go ahead and read the other two verses too. Get the whole picture. All right, let's notice how Jesus and the saints will rule and judge. It's Isaiah 11:2-4. Isaiah 11:2-4. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by sight of his eyes, nor decide the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he does judge the poor and decide the equity for the meek of the earth. That's an interesting phrase. He's going to judge the poor. Why not the rich? I mean, obviously the rich will be judged too. But it is interesting how he focuses on the poor. So again, sometimes, let's say if you were in a court and you were part of the jury, would you be influenced because this poor person was involved in this against a rich person or something? I mean, we got to be fair and honest, don't we? Just like God and Jesus is. So something to keep in mind if you're in that situation. You know, we have to be fair and honest with everybody, rich or poor. All judgment will be based on God's 10 commandments, laws, statutes, and judgments. And when I think of the word judgment, something to focus on here. We're familiar with about the 10 commandments and so on. But the judgments are explicitly called out in Leviticus 23. Now you may have tried, I've done some research on this. Sometimes I have trouble finding the other statutes, but they're definitely called out in Leviticus 23, about 4 times, I think, 3 or 4 times. And but keep that in mind. So and another little point too, sub point here. It's interesting how some of the statutes may over, what would be the right word? Instead of got the commandments and statutes, they may be like this. Maybe the commandments, you think the commandments are a hot top, but sometimes the statutes will overpower the commandment, especially on the Sabbath, maybe holy days, that kind of thing. Anyway, just an interesting little sub point. Hebrews 8, God's laws will be written in people's hearts. Hebrews 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. You know, we're all, at this point in time, we're all sinners, and I'm sure at times we would really like to have and know that God wrote those in our hearts, and they are being written in our hearts because we're living it, aren't we? But it would be interesting, you know, sometimes we sin, we fall short, everyone falls short of the glory of God. But sometimes it would be nice to say, I guess we can just pray, Father, help me. Help me not to do that again. I repent. I'm sorry. I'm sorry what I did. And I think if we apologize enough to God and say you're sorry, that reinforces in our mind what we need to do. All right, the world's holidays will be eliminated. Jeremiah 10:2, we all know this. The Lord says, do not learn the way of the Gentiles or the heathen. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed by them. God's festivals will be observed. God's holy days, the 7 annual festivals, will be commanded to be observed. This is Zechariah 14:16-19. Zechariah 14:16-19. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, we've already heard it. I've heard this at least once, this feast already, this scripture. Verse 17. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them will be no rain. Now, I got a little note written in here. This is a curse. No rain. If the families of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. And it shall be a plague. They shall receive a plague. That's an interesting phrase, too, and that we were familiar with COVID, that's for sure. With which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So there may be a curse other than rain, but even rain could be a major curse. If you don't have water, you don't have crops, do you? If you don't have water, you may not be able to have any water to drink. Verse 19, this shall be the punishment of Egypt. So Egypt is specifically mentioned here. And the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Interesting question. In the Old Testament times, people kept the feast, didn't they? In the millennium, we'll keep it. What about today? Why not? Why? Where did that happen? It probably happened through the Catholic Church where they turned everything upside down from the Sabbath, the holy days, they wanted to do Christmas and Easter and that kind of thing. But anyway, in the millennium, we will be keeping God's festivals. God's holy days picture God's plan of salvation. Very important part. The 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles is a holy day period that pictures the 1,000-year millennium of the kingdom of God here on this planet with Jesus Christ ruling as King of Kings. The people will keep the Sabbath day holy. Isaiah 66, verse 23. Isaiah 66, 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and worship before me, says the Lord. No more war. We're very familiar with this part of it. Micah 4, 1 to 3. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord shall be established on the top of the mountains. Now when you read about mountains in the Bible, that's usually referring to large countries, big countries. And it continues, and shall be exalted above the hills. The hills then would be small countries. A little bit of prophetic language there, you might say. And people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge many between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And here's a beautiful phrase we all love. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. All right, as a reminder, please jot something down on your cards. I'm going to be collecting them here in a few minutes. So write down a headline, if you would, please. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. In the millennium, there will be many blessings for obedience. Now, this is Deuteronomy 28. We're all probably familiar with that. We've probably read it dozens of times. But Deuteronomy 28, 1-5, blessing and cursing chapter here. Now, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all the blessings shall come upon you, and you will overtake them, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body, having children, families, that kind of thing. The produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be the basket and your kneading bowl. You know, our nation gets to have those blessings right now, doesn't it? If we obey God. That's what this is for, is for the nations. This also refers to the kingdom, of course. But think about that. If we did, we'd have all these. But you know, how many times have these been disobeyed by our country? And you can just sort of read it. You know, the disease, children, all kinds of problems with health problems and so on. There's going to be a superhighway. Isaiah 19, 23-25. Isaiah 19, 23-25. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. Now, we heard a message about that yesterday, somewhat. And, you know, when the nations come to the point of loving God and so on, and putting God first, obeying him and so on, there's just going to be an abundance, isn't there? I mean, everything's going to be good. You know, there won't be the war. There won't be nations fighting against each other, hating each other, doing whatever they can to destroy each other. They're going to be working together. Verse 24, in that day Israel will be one of the three with Egypt, Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land. Verse 25, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. There'll be a pure language. That's something to think about, isn't it? How many times do you hear people, even on TV, whatever it is, cursing God, using God's name in vain? What about the F word? I hate to say anything like that, but that is something that needs to be obliterated from our language, and it will be with a new language. The animals will become tame. We heard a little bit about that yesterday. Isaiah 11:6-9. Isaiah 11:6-9. The wolf, and of course we all love this phrase, but this being the Feast of Tabernacles. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, a little child shall lead them, the cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play on the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Something comes to my mind, I'll just pass this on to you. I have this book that I love reading, and it's about God and creation and so on. But there's a bird that eats his feathers. I thought, what? Anyway, it eats the fish, the seafood that's unclean, sharp things with shells and stuff on them. And the feathers actually cushion its stomach and stuff. And then it regurgitates some stuff, and like Pelas has said, and expels it. But of all things, it's amazing about what God has done and created and what he does. So, millennial paradise. The millennium will be a paradise on earth. The deserts will bloom, good health will prevail, peace will endure, animals will become tame, there will be abundant supply of food, and it'll have rain in due season. All of mankind will worship God in spirit and in truth. God will bless the earth and man abundantly. All right, now I still have a chapter to read, but I'd like for the gentleman to, Gregory and I'm drawing a blank on his name. Anyway, please pick up the cards for me and bring them up to me. Yeah, okay. Okay, let's continue here while they do that to read chapter 35 of Isaiah. Just hold your hands up, the card, or else pass them to the center or something like that to make it more expedient there. All right, Isaiah 35, this is the whole chapter. It's about the millennium. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Verse 3, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful and hurt, thank you. Thank you. Say to those who, this is verse 4, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened or healed. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Verse 7. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Verse 8. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up in on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. That be us, people who have repented. Verse 10, Andy. Okay, thank you. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing, and shall flee away. In conclusion, when you pray thy kingdom come, realize what you're praying for. You're asking God to establish his government on the earth for 1,000 years. You're asking the living Christ to return in power and glory as King of kings and Lord of lords to rule over all nations. You're asking to be a ruler under Jesus Christ to help govern this earth in love, joy, and peace. Hopefully the next time you pray thy kingdom come, it'll have much more meaning for you. The Bible says in James 5:16, the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Remember to pray fervently, thy kingdom come. Okay, so now part two. When I did this message at home with our little group, I passed out cards and said, at the end, I said, all right, I want to collect cards. And no one did anything. What? So anyway, we had a good discussion then. There was only like six or seven of us there. But anyway, we had, but you couldn't do that with a big group like this. You know, that wouldn't work, I don't think. So anyway, let's read some headlines here. 5 years in the millennium, and see what we got here. First card I received said, "World Peace." Second headline here is, "Christ Has Returned." Those are staggering statements. Here's one. "Once barren deserts come alive with lush greens and blooms that look like they have waited an eternity to blossom." Now this card says, "We are of one mind, but we need to use Numbers 29 to understand how the millennium develops." Okay. "Record number of 10 God's feast this year." Good, that's a good one. "Satan gone, Jesus reigns." Fantastic. "The Lord flourishes." "No famine." Those are striking. "No one hungers." Those are excellent headlines. "Learn God's way." Good, that's great. "Egypt finally attends the feast." That's good. That's good. Who knows how long it'll be that Egypt will go without doing that, you know, and being without rain. I mean, it sounds like a year would be plenty, but who knows, it might be 2 or 3 years. You don't know that, do we? "Goliath wakes up, makes peace with King David." Okay. Maybe someone will have to explain that one to me. I'm not totally sure on that one. "Joy." Okay. "Christ is King." Good statement. "Ruler of China orders his people to report to the Feast of Tabernacles to stop the drought." There you go. All right. That's good. Yeah. "All will have the knowledge of God." Okay. "Breaking news." If I can read the writing here. "It takes..." It looks like hospitals will be closing due to low... not sure what that last word says. Low... probably...
it's fake news, Bill.
What?
It's fake news.
Fake news. It probably means that there's no people to... the sick is in the hospital, probably. All right. "The world is at peace. Man's learned war no more." That's good. "Widespread healing sweeps the earth." Great. "The last nation holding out and attending the Feast Tabernacle has now decided its peoples must go up this year." That's great. "All the world attends the Feast of Tabernacles." Excellent. "Jesus, what do you think?" And "Your kingdom takes my breath away." Okay. I'm sure it will. God's kingdom. It'll be fascinating and truly wonderful and a big blessing and a lot to do, I'm sure. There'll be a lot of work involved, that's for sure, because we're going to have a lot of work to help Christ with what's going on in the world, with all the problems and everything. So, breaking news. "All diseases have been wiped away. Those who are sick will be healed, and those who are healthy will never be afflicted with a disease and illness ever again." That's the mystery. "King of Kings blesses repenting nations." That's good. "Adam was man's first try. Noah was man's second try. Jesus Christ will be man's eternal way." Okay. "Jesus and his saints restore the original intent of the Garden of Eden." Very good. "The use of..." I'm not sure what that says. F-O-W? I don't like... "The language has signifyingly reduced. Doctors and surgeons retire." Okay. "Doctors and surgeons retire. Pharmacists close." Okay, that's good. Okay, I think that's all. Well, thank you for participating in this audience participation. It's a little different, but I thought, well, why not? We will see headlines something like this. It's something to look forward to, isn't it? So.